stay there.
Blog Talk Radio.
Having their conscience seared with a hard R, meaning they are stunned. They are so numb right now to the truth of God's word because they have heard such false doctrine over and over again that when the truth is being told, they cannot even comprehend the truth of God's word. That's what will happen when you stay out there with the devil. That's what will happen when you go out there and get all mixed up in all these doctrines that are going on right now. That's why we have to pray and continuously pray for souls, souls that come out of darkness into God's marvelous light. He went on to say there in verse 3, he said, forbidding to marry. Look at our world today. I can remember when Elder Wilbur would read over this scripture and we were sitting in the choir. And Sister Blake and I would look at each other because Brother Elder Wilbur would say out there having love fest, shacking up and doing all kinds of things. We are back to that today. You think about all these shows that are going on right now, Bachelor and all these kind of things that are happening on television. People are shacking up. They're forbidding to marry. We want to have a dry run. There's no such thing as a dry run. The Bible tells us that marriage is honorable, the bed undefiled, whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. And that's the word of God. See, marriage is honorable unto God. Not all the shacking up that's going on. Not all the stuff that's happening in our world. But this is what's being taught today. He went on to say, forbidding the marriage. And commanding to abstain from meat, which God has created, to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. See, many know the truth of God's eternal word, but they've gone up now, and they dabbled and got out in the world and began to drink from the devil's fountain instead of from the living fountain of Jesus Christ. And now the mind is all mixed up. Now they cannot even see truth. If you salvation, and I know you thank him likewise. Also, we praise God for the church of God, amen, the pillar and ground of all truth. I'm glad that I know the truth of God's eternal word, and I know you likewise. Thank God that you know it too. We are all thankful that we are no longer walking in darkness because our world is full of gross darkness right now. We're glad that we have victory over sin and over this flesh. Yes, you can have victory over sin and over this flesh in this world. You see, when you and I got saved, we yielded ourselves to God. And that's the problem that's going on today. Many are not yielding to Almighty God. Many are still out there trying to do it on their own, or trying to do the things that got them into trouble before. See, when we were out there in the world, that's what we were trying to do when we lived for the devil. We were living on our own. But now that we are children of God, God is the pilot. We are the co-pilot. God is the one that directs our pathway. That's why the word of God says that the righteous man works. He said in the word of God, praise God, the scripture is given my mind, but we are, our steps are ordered in the word of God. Each and every day our steps are ordered by Almighty God, and the word of God tells you and I that all my ways acknowledge him, and God will direct our path. And I found that to be so, just to bring it around and in her prayer, just to stand and listen to the
We just don't want to be in the business of helping people stay in sin. But we might want to be in that business of helping people deliver from their world. This world, is taking many leaps and bounds. Thank God, I believe you said this before. The Spirit is bringing to my mind again. Our world is in dire straits right now. America is going down. America has forgotten God. Look around. Our children, many young people, they're strung out on drugs. Many are coming, going out to public places and sitting in the car and sniffing heroin or however they do it, and crack cocaine and all the other things that are going on. And many are strung out, and they have children. Not only is it young people, but they found grandparents with their children, grandchildren sitting in the back seat, and they're strung out on drugs. The young lady at the food pantry was sharing with Brother Brian and Sister Melissa on yesterday. She said, on this street here, and I'm talking about Wayne Avenue, she said five people have died from drugs. You think about it. Five people, including one of them was her husband, over ODing on drugs. But the one thing that got my attention when she had spoken with Brother Brian and I one time before, she said, but he was saved. He was a child of God. I can't believe in being a child of God and strung out on drugs. God does drugs to cover me, but I'm covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Drugs are the things that are out there inhibiting people from being able to do things. But when you come to Jesus Christ and your sins are under the blood, you are freely living in Almighty God and doing God's will. God doesn't have you strung out somewhere out of your mind.
Amen.
That's the trick of the devil.
That's
the time in which we are living. She told us that they even go over. Had gone over with leading Bible study. Oh, I was so disturbed by some of the things that I've heard. Some of the people that come in. And we began to talk to them. But I thank God for the saints of God who are standing firm on the word of God. Thank God that we have a foundation that is sure. That we are standing on the foundation. And the enemy cannot come in and overturn the foundation of God. Why? Because Jesus declared it in the word of God. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it.
Amen.
And I believe it so today. I thank God even on Friday night at the nursing home. We had a situation that prevailed there. Brother Brian prayed out at the nursing home that God would give them a calming spirit. Saints, sometimes when we go in there to the nursing home, those that are working in the kitchen, they're banging pots and seems like they bang them louder because we are there trying to have service with those that are there at the nursing home. Then they have loud conversations that are going on. The television is loud and going on. They're trying to have some play cards or bingo, whatever they're doing, and it's trying to overshadow the work of the Lord. Then all of a sudden, the one lady will come in and begin to try to feed the people who are there in the service. And that gets into confusion because she's trying to ask them if they want something to drink. We are going through a lot of things at the nursing home. The devil is trying to keep us out of the nursing home. But I thank God when Sister prayed at the end, during the time when our dear brother was preaching the word of God, there was a young lady that was sitting over, and she was hollering or wailing to the top of her lungs. And when I say wailing, saints of God, it was loud. It was offensive. Sister Blake said yesterday when she was talking to us, she said it reminded her
of the word of God when it said they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Her wailing was just like that, and it went on and on and on. But I thank God Brother Morgan was still able to preach the word of God.
Amen.
The louder she got, the Spirit of the Lord had his voice up that you could hear the word of God. And the more she wailed, the more people came in to hear the word of God. Oh, God said, I'll work and no man will hinder. My God is at work, saints
Amen.
Of God. Oh, when we go there, we need your prayers, saints of God. We need the prayers of the righteous to come down upon us so that we're able to go ahead and preach and teach the word of God. But my God is not going to let anyone hinder the work of God.
Amen.
And we thank God
Amen.
For it. Thank God for his word. Thank God for the children of God. As we said, we thank God for truth. Thank God we can walk in the light of God's gospel. See, when we got saved, as we said, we yielded ourselves to God. And he worked a miracle in our lives. He forgave us of our sins. He's given us the power by the infilling of the Holy Spirit of God to reign in this life, in this present world. You see, false teaching would have you to believe that the kingdom of God is in some far off, distant. Jesus said in Luke 16:16, that the kingdom of God is preached and every man presses into it. As saints of God, you and I have to put some energy into our Christian walk. God intends for every one of us that are professing to be saved, to be steadfast and unmovable and laying hold on to eternal salvation. What are you saying, Sister Renee? As a saint of God, we must do as Paul says in Philippians, the 3rd chapter, in the 14th verse. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. If you and I are pressing as the word of God says, then you and I are going to be busy rejoicing in the God of our
Amen.
Salvation, knowing that our names are written in heaven. To the lost this afternoon, yes, Jesus is coming back. What will happen when he returns? He is coming back to deliver up the kingdom to God the Father. He is not coming back, as the world will have you to believe, to establish a kingdom down here. But he is coming back to take it to his Father. When he comes, we are told that the righteous will be raised up at the last days. Turn with me to John, the 6th chapter, and look what it says there in the word of God. Thank God for the truth of God's eternal word. That's why we get in the word of God, so that we can know the truth of what God is saying to us. He says there in John, the 6th chapter and the 39th verse, he said, and this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Jump down to verse 44. He said, no man can come to the Father except the Father which has sent me draw him. So you just can't come to God any old time in your life. See, the enemy will have you to think, oh, that's an old-fashioned way. The enemy is having young people, you got a long life to live. But my Bible tells me that the young have to come to God just as well as the old.
That's right.
Salvation is for all mankind. And since none of us know the day when Jesus is coming back, it behooves us to make our peace calling and election sure today. He went on to say, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at that last day.
Yeah.
Then turn over to verse 54. He went on to say, whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the
Amen.
Last day. Then the wicked, look what he says to the wicked. over in verse 28 of that same scripture. You can read the entire scripture in your leisure. This scripture is full of good things for all of us to read. He went on to say there in verse 28, he said, "Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him who he has sent."
Yeah.
And who was sent? Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, was sent to this
Amen.
Earth to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what he came for. See, John 12:48 lets us know that he that rejected me, and we're living in a time, and Sister made mention of this in her exhortation, or maybe it was even in her prayer, there are many right now who are denying who our Lord and Savior is. But he said in John 12:48, "He that rejected me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." You think about it. If you deny Jesus before men, he's going to be deny you before his Father, which
yeah.
is in heaven. This God that you reject right now is going to be the same word of God that God is going to judge in the end. God is going to open up this book, and he's going to begin to judge out of this book. It's from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Daniel 12:2 reads, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt."
Yeah.
Acts 24:15 says, "And have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust." You see, both classes of people are going to be raised at the same time. Are you ready to meet Jesus? Eternity is forever. Oftentimes we hear Brother Morgan say this quote, "Eternity is a long time to say shoulda, woulda, coulda." It's a long time to be saying that. I read in a pamphlet, Sister Blake gave me some of the pamphlets that she hands out, that we hand out to those at the food pantry. One of the pamphlets asks the question, "If you were to die tonight, are you ready?" Ready to do what? Meet Jesus Christ. Another one of the pamphlets asks the question, "Saved or lost?" It asks the question, "How have you come to the moment of truth in your life about your soul?" And it went on to tell how to be saved. Went on to say in 1 Timothy 1:15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." If you are under the sound of my voice, and if you are not ready to meet Jesus, you can be today. Romans 10:13 says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Acts 16:31 says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." You see, this is a offer of salvation to all that will come to Jesus Christ and accept him as their Lord and Savior. Life has only two roads, and all of us are on one of them. One leads to death and eternal punishment, and the other road is leading to everlasting life with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So you see, oftentimes in this life, you and I are faced with making some decisions. It is in the same spiritual life, the decision that lies ahead of you. If you are not in the will of Almighty God, is will you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You see, when God opens the book of life, will your name be written there? It is simply as believing that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and asking him to come into your life. Turn with me to Acts, the second chapter, in the 37th verse, and look at what the scripture says there. He said, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. You see, the word of God is going forth right now. If you are being pricked in your heart, listen to what happened back then when Peter was sitting there preaching. He said, and said unto Peter, he said, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. See, he didn't say that you stay in your sins. Amen. He said, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Do you believe Jesus is who he claims he is? Do you believe that the Son of God has the power to forgive sin and grant everlasting life to all who will come to him? Or is this some myth to you? During Christ's lifetime, as we said before, he was rejected and denied of mankind. The Bible records many incidents about his rejection. Mankind rejected him for whom he said he was. And sadly today, he is still being rejected and denied. Some say he was just a great teacher and a great spiritual leader, and they refused to accept him as the Son of God that was sent into this world to redeem mankind back to God. We are told in John, the first chapter, in the 11th verse, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. You see, Jesus came to his people who had his word and were living in his promised land. He came to tell them that there was a way to come to God and to experience eternal life. We are told that they refused his call from the sinner's friend to come to him. However, verse 12 and verse 13 makes it clear that anyone who will come to Jesus and receive him into their heart and life will experience a new birth and will enter into eternal life. You see, Jesus Christ is the only one who can open up the way to peace to Almighty God. Amen. He is the door to the kingdom of Almighty God. John makes it very clear in verse 13 that this life comes not by our natural birth, meaning not by blood, not by our own good works, not by the work of another, but only through the will of Almighty God. And what is the will of God? Turn with me to John, that sixth chapter again. I said in there, the Spirit had me say that this scripture is full of good for all mankind. He went on to say there in verse 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall neither thirst. See, Jesus is the bread of life. When you come to him, you have all the spiritual fullness that you need to live a life satisfying to Almighty God in this present world. He went on to say, but I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. See, there are many people who have heard the word of God, and they will not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But he went on to say, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I shall lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him. Listen to the words, what he's saying here. He's given another opportunity, another invitation to come to him. He said, and this is the will of him that sent me, and him is Almighty God. He said that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the Son of Man is able to raise you up? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the bread of life? If you believe that he is, then you need to come to Almighty God.
Amen.
You see, there's only one entrance into eternal life, and that is through the Son of God. The Word of God lets us know in John 10:9 that he is the door. The Word of God lets us know in John 14:6 that he is the way, the truth, and the life. If any man is going to enter into eternal life, they will have to enter in through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And when God opens the book of life, then your name will be written in that book. In Mark the 6th chapter, there is an account of a visit by Jesus Christ to his own hometown with his followers. Mm-hmm. On the Sabbath, he entered into a synagogue. And he begins to teach. In verse 1, if you turn with me there for a moment, he says, and he went out from thence and came into his own country. Mm-hmm. And his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence has this man these things? See, this is the time in which we are living to today. Many are still astonished about the things of God.
Yes.
Many are still denying Jesus Christ. And this is just another scripture to show us the rejection that Jesus went through. He went on to say, from whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hand? Is not this the carpenter's son of Mary? See, they thought of Jesus as being the carpenter's son. He went on to say, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. See, they were amazed at Jesus. And Jesus thought, knew about all their lack of unbelief in him. Look at verse 4. He said, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. See, people are living, and we're living in a time right now. Many don't believe in Jesus Christ. And many works are not being able to be done because of it. Mankind's heart is hardened to the things of God. And why is that so? Many are hardened because they say they watch the lives of those of us who claim we are children of God. And oftentimes I've heard many say that many who claim to be children of God don't live any better than what they do. And that is sad.
Yes.
Because you and I claim, if you're claiming you are saved, claiming you have been, meaning you have been delivered from your sin, and you are supposed to, we are supposed to be walking as he walked. We are supposed to be new creatures in Christ Jesus. We are not supposed to be doing the same old thing that you and I used to do when we were out there in the world. That's why the Bible tells us in the Word of God. He said, if you be risen with Christ, seek what? Those things which are above. If you say you are a child of God, you ought to be seeking things that are heavenly. You ought to be coming out of this world. That's what he says to us in Colossians, the 3rd chapter. He says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Then he went on to say to you and I, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth.
Right.
You and I, our mindset should be in heaven. All of our things should be about God, not about this world and the various things that are going on. Then he went on to say, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Look what he tells you and I to do. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. See, if you and I used to do these things, we no longer do them. He went on to say fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which, listen to what Paul is saying here, in the which ye also walked sometime when you lived in them. If you are now claiming to be a child of God, you are no longer living in these things or walking in these things. You have crucified this flesh. You are now a new creature in Christ Jesus. He went on to say, but now ye also put off all of these. Anger. There's no reason for a saint of God to be walking around and just angry about everything that is going on in this life.
That's right.
My Bible tells me in another scripture, anger lieth in the bosom of a fool. That's the Bible. We shouldn't be, he said, be slow to angry, to anger. You and I shouldn't be walking around angry. He said, put off wrath, put off malice, put off blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. See, if you used to do those things, you should no longer be doing them today because you say you are a child of God.
Amen.
He said, lie not one to another. We teach our children not to lie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember back in the day when I was coming along, the late Brother Lawrence and Sister Dee, you got a good whipping. You got a good whipping for lying. I can remember Brother Tony and I raising Maria. We told her that's the one thing we will not tolerate. Don't lie to us. Children today find it convenient to lie. Why? Many are watching their parents do it.
Yeah.
Many are watching their parents get on the phone or tell them I'm not here. And you're standing right there. That's a lie. Many are saying things right before their children, and their children are watching it. And then what happens? The children goes right out and does the same thing the parent is doing, and they develop the spirit of lying. That's why we got to teach our children that lying is wrong. And if you got to put the rod of correction on them, you got to put the rod of correction on them for doing it, because that's according to the word of God. Saints of God, if we're going to spare our children from this world, spare our children from death and all the things that are going on, we are going to have to come the Bible way.
Amen.
When we are raising our children. The Bible tells you and I, train them up in the way they should go. I know oftentimes you'll hear people say, well, my child is not saved. I am. I'm going to allow my child to live their life the way they want to live it. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says to teach them, to show them the right way. You teach them everything else, how to ride a bicycle the right way so they won't fall off and hit their head on the ground. So why wouldn't you teach them how to live for Almighty God? The thing that is most important is so that they can make it into the kingdom of God. I thank God for good parents who taught us the word of God, who showed us our grandparents and things, who taught us the word of God. Thank God for the saints here who took all the children in as their own children. Coming here has been a blessing for me. All the saints of God took us in. You didn't have to come in here and worry about any of the saints of God not caring about you. But the saints here cared about you whether you were their child or not.
Amen.
And the saints here could correct you whether you were their child or not. And I thank God for it. Because our parents were not, when we were growing up, they were not saved. And I'm not bragging about that. I'm just making a statement here. But I thank God they sent us here to come to church. And they had enough faith and confidence and the people of God that they were going to show us the right way. And later on in life, my parents, them both got saved. Thank God for the church of God.
Amen.
Thank God for the older saints. Many are gone on, but we still have some here with us. And we thank God that they taught us the right way. And as the saints of God, we've got to teach these children that we have right now with us the right way to go. Because I tell you right now, this world is teaching them the wrong thing. This world is leading them down a path of destruction. As we said at the onset of this message, years ago, many of us looking at Sesame Street. And I heard the other day on the news that now they're coming out and declaring that Bert and Ernie, I believe it is, are gay. See how divert, how perverted we are? See how the devil is working in overtime? This is the time in which we live, saints of God. We got to be careful what our children are looking at. We got to stop some things. We got to sit with them in that, as the Bible says back in Deuteronomy. When you sit in your home, when you walk by your way, we got to teach them the word of God. He says back there in Deuteronomy 6:7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest the night, when we're in our home. If you have a tablet, turn it off and tell them about God. Let them know about Almighty God. I'm in no way saying they can't have their TV. I'm just saying turn it off so you can teach them about God. Amen. Sometimes they don't need to see all the stuff that's going on the television in the first place. Went on to say there, when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by thy way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up, tell them about God. Let our children know that it's God that's providing this food for you. It is God that's providing this roof over our head. It is God that's allowing us to be able to pay these bills and to have all the electricity and gas and water and the various things and the food that you eat. It is God. Amen. Let them know that. Our world is in a bad situation right now. But as the children of God, you and I have got to continue on for all God. In your leisure, I ask that you read some other scriptures where Jesus was denied. In Matthew 13, you can read where he was denied again. He was said to be the carpenter's son. Also in Luke's gospel, Luke 4, Jesus was described as Joseph's son again. Also in Psalms 118, 22, Matthew 21, 42, Acts 4:11, Mark 12:10, and 1 Peter 2:7. All these scriptures talk about Jesus as the stone which the builders rejected. It is sad to say that he is still being rejected today. You may ask, how is he being rejected? Sister Renee, Matthew 24. In Matthew 24, when the disciples came to Jesus and asked what would be the signs of his coming, explained that it would be a time of the greatest religious deception the world had ever seen. He said sound doctrine would be despised. There would be any faith left whatsoever when he returned. He gave his disciples in that fourth verse of Matthew 24 a solemn warning. He said, and Jesus answered and said unto them, he said, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. He said, for nation shall rise against nation. Saints, do we see these things happening?
Yeah.
He said, in kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earth. Look at what's going on in our land right now. Look at down in North Carolina. They said the rain came down. They said all the flooding that's going on. They said billions of water. We can't remember how much it was. Came down and it kept right on raining. The flooding is going on. People are losing everything. Some have even lost their lives. He said, for nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. He said, all these are the beginning of sorrow. He said, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Right now, the people of God are hated because they are preaching and teaching the word of God. Why are you saying that, Sister Renee? Because we are teaching the unadulterated word of God. Our time is living in a time right now where we're in a society that's accepting of everything that's going on, things that go against the word of God. And right now, when you teach the unadulterated word of God, they say it is hate speech, but it is not hate speech. It is God's eternal word. Kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, shall hate one another. He said, and many false prophets shall rise, and we're seeing that today. Many are rising up right now for filthy lucre's sake. He said, and shall deceive many, and because iniquity, sin, and we're seeing it right now, shall abound, meaning to multiply. Sin is mine. Look how sin is multiplying all around us. The love of many shall wax cold. You think about it, even in the news, almost every time you hear the news, there's another person who has done something, another man that's touched women or done something, sexual assault to women. See, they thought all this stuff was hidden underneath the carpet and nobody would bring it to light. But my Bible tells me all darkness shall be brought to light.
That's
and
right.
The darkness
Amen.
Of all these men, all these politicians, and all these men that are in these high-ranking CEOs of these companies are being brought down by this Me Too movement. But I believe in my heart that God is just opening up
That's
and
right.
letting us know that we're living in some perilous times. And saints of God, we've got to get a hold of our children.
Yes.
Parents are allowing their children to go all over the place. But we got to keep an eye on where they're going. Because predators are out there on every hand. And they're coming after our children, the little children. That's what's going on. He went on to say, verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, and this is iniquity, it's a sin. The love of many shall wax cold, and we've seen that happening. But look what he said in verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. You and I have got to endure, saints of God.
Yes.
We got to press on. You can't get weary in well-doing, but we've got to endure till the end. Yes, we can see this deception is already dominant in our time right now. There are those who are dangerously playing with evil spirits and preaching doctrines of devils that are leading souls astray. The Apostle Peter in 2 Peter, turn with me there for a moment if you have your Bibles. In 2 Peter, the second chapter, and also in the third chapter, was also worried about the last days. And look what he said there in verse 1 of 2 Peter, the second chapter. He said, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow. Listen to what he said. He said, and many means an undetermined amount, shall follow their pernicious ways, meaning their harmful or destructive ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be what? Evil. And through covetousness shall they with vain words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. See, Peter here is warning of false teachers in our day and time who are going to rise in churches teaching damnable heresies, even denying God that had brought them. The apostle was not warning of just a minor difference with within the Christian faith, but he was prophesying of a departure from true church, one that denies Christ's death on the cross. What are you saying, Sister Renee? In Matthew, the 24th chapter, Jesus warned his people three times of the deception. We just read a little bit about it. He warned them about false Christ and false prophets coming in the last days. It was a dominant theme back then in that chapter for us to watch and not be deceived. This is why you and I, as saints of God, have to watch and pray. Watch and pray that we enter not into temptation. He said the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Yes.
On Friday night at the nursing home, I thank God for Brother Morgan. He preached a good message on discipleship. The Spirit of God had him share with us the cost of true discipleship. He read from Matthew, the 7th chapter there, where Jesus said in the Word of God, in that 21st verse, Jesus said, not everyone, that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
Right.
See, brother expounded by saying, if God is not in charge of your life, you can't call on him.
That's right.
You see, the enemy will have one to believe that if they use religious terms and say religious things, that they are all right with God. But see, that is a lie from the devil.
Amen.
Paul in 2 Timothy, in the 3rd chapter, in the 5th verse, says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. He said, from such turn away. Paul is saying here in this scripture text that the population of the last days will be characterized by wickedness and evilness, that there will be a religious people. And we are seeing that trend in our society today. The Pew Research says 94% of Americans claim to believe in God. Over 70% claim that they have had a born-again experience. Our society right now is inundated with churches. One doesn't have to travel very far at all to find a church that embraces any doctrinal slant you want to believe in. Yet, we look around too with all these churches being around. The moral decay in our society is ever increasing. This is coming from what Paul says, that religious people have a form of godliness. The word form means assemblance. In other words, they will claim to be good. And they will claim to be decent people, but their claim is false. Their problem and the fact is that they are desperately wicked in their house, in their heart, excuse me. The way they live their lives proves that their claim of faith is false. You see, Paul says that people in the last days will be religious. They will have that appearance of godliness. They will go to church. They will talk the language of the church, yet they have not been washed from their filthiness.
Right.
Saints, whether you know it or not, you and I are living right now in a day where people are considered spiritual. They are considered seven, saved, and heaven bound if they are a member of some church. But Paul says, while they profess, possess the form of godliness, that they deny the power thereof. What does that mean? They deny that God is able to keep them from the old life of sin.
Right.
That's what Paul was saying. They're saying that I'm a child of God, But I still sin a little bit here and a little bit there. And I still do a little of this. That is not a child
Amen.
Of God,
Amen.
But a child of the devil.
Right.
See, when you say you're a child of God, as brother said on Friday night out at the nursing home, if you say you're a child of God and you're living like the devil, call upon God and say, I love the Lord.
Amen.
You can't say it. That's why Jesus said, all that say, Lord, Lord, is not going to enter in. Many are saying that today. Many are saying, I'm a child of God, but they're living like the devil each and every day of the week. And then they try to clean up and come into the house of God on Sunday. And then they get up in the choir and are singing in the choir. They get up in the pulpit, they're preaching in the pulpit, but they've lived like the devil all week long. God is not accepting that
Amen.
Praise. That is of the devil. Whether you want to believe it or not, it is of the devil. That is denying a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You're saying that God is not able to keep you. But my God is able to keep you from falling
Amen.
And to present you faultless. That's what the word of God says. If you walk around and say, I'm just a sinning Christian, you are saying that this Almighty God, whom we get up every day and we pray to and we call his name out, you are saying that he is not able to keep you from sinning. But this
Amen.
Is the same God that spoke everything into existence, and this is the same God that breathed into you the breath of life, and it is the same God that speaks and man lives and speaks and man dies, and you're saying that he's not able to keep you. But that's not according to the word of God.
Amen.
Oh yes, God is able to keep you. You see, when you experience true Christianity, you will have a life-altering experience. See, no one can meet Jesus Christ and remain the same. I found that to be so.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Amen.
I know I'm a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I thank God for being a new creature in Christ Jesus. You see, if a person claims to be right with God, and you still are manifesting all the fruits of unrighteousness, you're lost today, and you are still in your sins. Saints of God, yes, you and I are living in the last days, and we've got to hold on. The last days, right now as we see it, are characterized by people who say they're saved and they're not. Wickedness is abounding, and people who claim that they are children of God, but that is not according to God's word. They want a God in our time in which we live right now. They want a God of convenience. I call on God when I need God. I'll call on him when I'm going through a situation. But all the rest of the time, I'm not going to call on him. You oftentimes hear people telling people, just pray. They've been living like the devil. And you hear people telling them, just go ahead and pray. But when I met Jesus, I had a life-changing event happen to me. And I know you did likewise. I no longer want the things of this world. I no longer have to worry about singing Pink Cadillac or dancing to those things of the world. I now have Jesus Christ. I can sing my It Is Well with My Soul.
Amen.
I can now sing the old account that's settled long ago. I can also sing all the other songs that are in the hymn and not be condemned by them.
Amen.
And I thank God for that. I can sing the song, O Church of God,
Amen.
And I can stand on
Amen.
What the words say in O Church of God. I can also sing the song, I'm saved today, fully saved today. I thank God to be able to sing those songs. Many are trying to sing them, but they're not able to do so because they have not changed
Amen.
Their life. They're still living the old lifestyle. The world right now is filled up with people who are religious. Many are still lost. There's an increase right now in powerlessness. We're living in a time of much religion. Religion that cannot save, cannot change lives, cannot satisfy. Whether you see it or not, we are in those days right now. Yes. Proverbs 21:2 says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. You may try to convince yourself that you are saved, but the final evaluation belongs to God.
Amen.
How do you measure your salvation? By the word of God. Romans 12:1 says to you and I, and Paul was speaking here to the people of God. He says, I beseech you. He's speaking to the brethren. You therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, he said that you present your bodies. He said a living sacrifice. He went on to say holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. See, we are to present these bodies as a living sacrifice to Almighty God. He said, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what you and I have to do. Paul is telling us that the presentation of our bodies to God is a serious occurrence in our lives. This is no light affair, but one that should be done in a very hallow, consecrated, and serious manner. This implies that we must live in a continual state of surrender and consecration to God. We must surrender ourselves and all that we are unto Almighty God, making a solemn pledge that we are His and that He can therefore use us in whatever way God sees fit. That is to glorify the kingdom of God. This is why we are told in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter and the 15th verse, he said, know ye not, he said, that your bodies are the members of Christ. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two said he shall be one flesh. That's why all this stuff that's going on in our world today is against God.
Right.
You're taking this body that God has given you, and you're doing all manner of things in the body, and it's against God. Just like we see going on in our world today. We're seeing where many are running to this thing, and this is running rampant in our land. All the tattoos and the body piercing. This is why the scripture says, what? Know ye not that he which is joined to a heart is one body? For two save he shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. When you're out there sinning in fornication and in adultery, you're sinning against your own body. Then he goes on to say, what? Know ye not that your body is what? The temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You see, right now, saints of God, we're living in a time where the world is running rampant with all these tattoos and body piercings and all these things that are going on, and it's not glorifying God. I know there may be some of us who are saints of God who may have them, but God has delivered you from that. But I'm speaking of the day now when you're living, we're seeing people, they've got tattoos all the way over their heads, all their entire body. My Bible tells me in the word of God that is against God, that we should not mar up our bodies with all these things that are going on. But the world is saying it's okay to the young people. Go out here and get these tattoos. Go out here and get all these body piercings. That is against
Amen.
God's word.
Amen.
We have to teach our children the right way, saints of God. Let them know, though, people are walking down the street with all these things on them. It is not of God. Mankind is going to have to stand in the judgment, and they're going to have to give an account for these things that they're doing right now. And saints of God, we've got to teach it the way God has left it in the Word of God. We've got to let them know that you can't mar this body, because this body is the temple of God. If you want to glorify God, don't go out and get those things done, but learn how to live for Almighty God. Thank God for His Word. Oh, I thank God for messages that we've heard in this past week. The message at the nursing home, as we spoke about a little early on. The message yesterday at the food pantry. I told Brother Brian that the Spirit of the Lord had confirmed what God had given me to preach this morning. The message the Lord blessed Brother Brian with yesterday was on the subject of how would you measure up to the Lord if you had died last night. He based it off of Hebrews 9:27. Where the Hebrew writer says, and it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. As we all know, life is short. James 4:14 says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appear for a little time and then vanishes away. Job 7:6 says, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is wind. My eyes shall no more see good. Job 14:1 said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Psalms 39:5 says, behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. David said in 1 Samuel 20:3, but truly, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. All of us are going to die one day if the Lord tarries. And when we do, we will have to make up our minds as to whom we will serve before this life. After death, there will not be an opportunity for that to occur. Don't let the masses fool you and to believe that you can live any old way, and when you die, you can come through purgatory. Not so. You better die right in God before Amen. You leave this earth. You're going to wind up in hell.
Amen.
So the question still remains to you and I this afternoon, when God opens the book of life, will our names be there? Turn for a moment to Ecclesiastes 12th chapter. And look what he says in this passage of scripture. Solomon mentions three events that will take place in every person in this room life. There will be a choosing day. You see, life is full of choices. In the spiritual, it is the same for you and I. Either you're going to serve God, or you're not going to serve Him, and you're going to serve the devil. In Joshua 24, Joshua challenged the people. He said, choose you who they would serve, and to get about it. He said, if it seemed evil unto them to serve the Lord, he said, choose you this day whom ye will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The same choice stands before you and I this afternoon. It is time for people to make up their minds about serving God. When we look around us and see all the signs of the times, it behooves us, as we said, to make our peace calling and election sure with God. You may say, Sister Renee, what are the signs? In your leisure, I ask you to go back and read Luke, the 21st chapter. And when Jesus was there speaking in that verse, in that 28th verse, he said, and when these things, you need to go back and read in your leisure what those things are. He was telling them, when you see these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. You see, the times that we are living in are telling us that the advent or the second coming of Jesus Christ is very near. You see, there's going to come a judgment on this earth. And it will be a judgment of fire. It speaks of the certainties of the end of the world. Jesus in Matthew 24, and that's another chapter I want you to read in your leisure, said in that 37th verse, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And what were the days of Noah like? One word that is used to describe the days of Noah was wickedness. And we're seeing that in our land right now. We're told in Genesis 6:5 that God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. We are seeing a parallel to this right now in our society today. Mankind is so preoccupied with things and that are taking up their everyday living. They don't have time for Almighty God, but they have time for all the wickedness that's going on in the land right now. Amos the 8th chapter and 11th verse says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the word of God. And do we see that happening right now? Many don't want to hear the word of God. Many want to put a time limit on how long the service ought to be when it comes to the word of God. But saints of God, you and I should be hungry and thirsting after righteousness. We ought to want to hear the word of God. We ought to want to get more of our spiritual food than we want of the natural food. Yes, we need the natural food to be able to survive and to sustain in this life. But we mostly need the spiritual food to be able to know where we stand with Almighty God. He went on to say, and there shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north, even to the east, they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. That's happening today right now. You can run up in many houses of God, many or churches, and they're not preaching the word of God. They're few and far and in between. And saints of God, this is not just making a judgment call or anything such as that. It is true. Many of us have gone and said and heard things that are not true. As we said earlier, we have sat and listened to TV evangelists, packed houses, and not preaching anything, not talking about salvation, but only talking about prosperity. And about all the blessings. Yes, those are in the word of the blessings are in the word of God. But the New Testament gospel is about mankind coming to Almighty God and about living righteously and soberly and living for Almighty God. It's not about you and I trying to gain up all the riches in this life, but it's about making sure our peace calling is an election sure with God, that if we die today, we know where we will spend eternity. That's what it's all about. Isaiah says there, in Isaiah 66:15, he said, for behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. God is coming back, going to set this old world on fire. He's not coming back to set up a kingdom as some is teaching today. No, but he's coming to burn up all of this down here. And I'm not looking to be down here.
Amen.
But I'm looking to be with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Sister Wigfall. Yes, he promised he's coming back. That's why he said in the word of God, he told his disciples in John 14 to comfort themselves with these words. He went on to tell them in the Word of God how they were to comfort themselves. He said that he would go to prepare a place for them. And if I go to prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there ye may be also. And that is not down here on this
Amen.
Earth. I'm not planning to stay down here. But this is going to be burned up and caught on fire.
Yes.
All this stuff that's going on, all these buildings, all these new freeways, all this stuff is going to burn because God's going to burn it down.
Amen.
As we said, none of us know when Christ is going to come back. But Jesus said for you and I in Matthew 36, that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. See, you and I dare not guess or speculate. It may be 1,000 years from now, or it may be even tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless, the end of the world is coming for each of us. And that could be at any time. You and I will never know. But the question still remains. What have you done to prepare for that moment when this heart stops beating? Will God find our names written in the book of life? This implies to all of us, including the young that are here today with us. 2 Timothy, turn with me there for a moment and look at what it says in the Word of God. 2 Timothy, that third chapter. And look what Paul says. He said, this also know, in the last days, times shall come. Are we living in the perilous times, saints of God? He said, for man shall be lovers, he said, of themselves. He said, covetous, boasters, proud. Look at them. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent. We're living in an uncontrolled society right now. Fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. What are you saying, Sister Renee? You can drive by the ball fields today, and many are out there right now playing ball. Men are now in gyms with their children, are out on the soccer field playing, or out on the football field playing. They're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God's eternal word. He went on to say, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. From of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. That's the time right now in which we are living. Turn over to Matthew 25 and look what Jesus said there in that 32nd verse of Matthew 25. He said, and before him, he said, shall be gathered all nations. See, no one's going to miss when Jesus comes back. He said, before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come. See, this is what you and I want to hear. Come, ye blessed of the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I wasn't hungered, he said, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. See, those are that's going to be for you and I, those of us who have settled that old account long ago. We're waiting for our Lord and Savior to tell us to come. Come and receive the kingdom that's been prepared since the foundation of the world. You know, Jesus was a man that was slain. In other words, God already had this in mind from the beginning. This was not such an afterthought. This was not an afterthought. God had it perfected from the very moment that God created the world. All to our young people today, think about where you're going to spend eternity. Not only to them, to the unsaved. See, God never intended it to be the way that mankind would die and go to hell. That was not God's intention. It is God's will that mankind yield himself to God and be saved. I don't think there's anyone that wants to die lost. I don't think a person alive and right now in their right mind wants to die without Jesus Christ. But God has given all of us a space of time to repent. It is called time. And it is a very small space of time. And our time today might be short in someone else's. We don't know. You may be saying today, I am young. I am only 20. Or I'm just a teenager. Age does not matter to Almighty God. As I shared with the saints of God on Wednesday night, you can drive up and down many roadways and look at all the wreaths and the crosses and the flowers where parents have gone out and put something in remembrance of their teenage son or daughter who died at a young age. None of us have any guarantee of how long that we are going to be alive. God did not give any one of us a lease on life. None of us know how short our time is going to be on this earth. But God wants every man to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of truth? Acts 2:21 says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Luke 3:6 says, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Our God has made it possible for all mankind to be saved. And when you are saved, sin no longer has dominion over you. Jesus Christ has delivered you from sin and has set you free from sin. And I thank God that he has done so. Thank God for his word. Galatians 1:4 says, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. See, our part is to believe what the word of God is saying. Our part is to walk, as Paul says, worthy of our vocation. Our life here on earth must be in harmony with the things of Almighty God. To the saints of God, our calling is spiritual, and it should be related to heavenly things. We shouldn't be walking around and doing all the things that the world is doing right now. You see, God has chosen you and I, as we read before the foundation of the world, that you and I should be holy. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, I want you to read this in your leisure. Jesus characterizes the different churches throughout the church age and the end of the age. In chapter 3, 1 through 5, Jesus tells the church there at Sardis. He told them to hold tight to their faith. He told them to be watchful. He told them to strengthen the things which remain. He told them to watch for his second coming. He told them that there were a few names which had not defiled their garments. He went on to let them know that he would not blot out their names out of the blood, that he would confess their names before his Father and his angels. This indicates that those who do not overcome, their names are going to be blotted out of the book of life. Don't let the devil fool you. If you are not living a righteous life for Jesus, your name is not in the book of life.
Right.
Turn just for a moment to Exodus 32. We're getting ready to close. You Bible students know the story of how Moses was up on the mount with God, and that he left the children of Israel down at the bottom of the mount. And down at the bottom of the mount, they were there with Aaron. And verse 1 says, is when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down, because Moses was up there with God, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, for which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of this, he said, we want not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in your ears, your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people broke off the golden earrings, and they brought unto Aaron. He received them, the word of God tells us. And after he had made a molten calf, and they said, these be the gods of Israel, they began to worship these gods. When Aaron saw that he built an altar before it, Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. He said they rose up early on the morrow and offered up burnt offerings and bought peace offerings. And the Lord heard all the noise that were going on. And the Lord said unto Moses, go to get down. Verse 7. For thy people which thou brought out of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed themselves unto it. And the Lord, verse 9, said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And listen to what verse 11 says. And Moses brought the Lord, the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, why dost thou wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy wrath. He went on to say, remember Abraham. Moses began to speak to God, and I want you to read the rest of this in your leisure. But I want you to turn over to verse 30. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord, and peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses turned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet thou wilt forgive their sins. And if not, listen to what Moses said. He said, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Have you made up your mind to serve God? If so, are you living so that when God comes, your name will be in the book of life? If you want to see Christ, you need to make a commitment to Jesus Christ and let him come into your heart today. God bless you is my prayer.
Amen. Title of the message was Rejoice Because Your Names Are Written in Heaven. We thank God for the word.
Amen.
Thank God for what the Spirit of God is teaching us.
Amen.
At one point she said we have to put some energy into our Christian walk.
Amen.
When people are serving sin, they put all the energy that they have into that, even to their own detriment. They'll go on 2 hours of sleep to stay out half the night to serve sin, and then wake up and pop up in the morning and go to work. They might be hungover, but they'll still do it. We have to consecrate and dedicate ourselves to the Lord.
Amen.
She gave Romans 12, what's one of the scriptures is Romans 12:1. Where it said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, not to the devil, but to the Lord. It says, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The Son of God died and shed his blood that we might be saved. So it's only reasonable that we serve him. Really, if you think about it, what's not reasonable is just left his throne in glory and took on flesh to die for our sins. If think about it logically, that's not really reasonable. But he did it because of his great love for us. God so loved the world. So isn't it reasonable that we should serve him?
Amen.
Isn't it reasonable?
Praise God.
To ensure that our names are written in heaven.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Shall we stand?
Amen.
In the worship of the Lord, number 505, humble yourself to walk with God.
Amen.
That's what it takes. Get lifted up in pride. When the disciples came back from working the works that Jesus had empowered them to do, he said, rejoice not because the devils are subject unto you. Because then if they did that, they might get lifted up in pride.
Amen.
But he said, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And that could not have happened unless they'd humbled themselves.
Amen.
To serve the Lord. So, number 505. If thou wouldst have the dear Savior from heaven, walk by your side from the morn till the even. There is a rule that each day you must follow. Humble yourself to walk with God. Humble yourself, and the Lord will draw near you. Humble yourself, and his presence shall cheer you. He will not walk with the proud or the scornful. Humble yourself to walk with God, just as the Lord in the world's early ages walked and communed with the prophets and sages. He will come now if you meet the conditions. Humble yourself to walk with God. Humble yourself, and the Lord will draw near you.
Praise God!
Humble yourself, and his presence shall cheer you. He will not walk with the proud or the scornful. Humble yourself to walk with God. If you don't know the Lord, I implore you, if you don't know the Lord, if you haven't surrendered to him, humble yourself to walk with God. It's not grievous. It is wonderful to have freedom and liberty in the Lord. It's wonderful. Don't be left out there in the day of judgment. And have the Lord say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I don't know you. And to be cast into outer darkness forever. It's a very serious,
yes.
It's a very, very serious matter, because you only have one soul.
Amen.
My Lord. It says he will not walk with the proud or the scornful. Won't you humble yourself? No cost. Jesus already paid the price. Amen. 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 Shall we sing that third verse?
Just as the stream finds a bed that is lowly, so Jesus walked with the pure and the holy. Cast out your pride and in heartfelt contrition, humble yourself to walk with God. Humble yourself and the Lord will draw near you. Humble yourself and his presence shall cheer you. He will not walk with the proud or the scornful. Humble yourself to walk with God.
Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen. How many receive their portion?
My.
Praise God. Amen.
Praise
That's what it takes.
God.
It's a humble walk.
Yes.
We can't get lifted up in self.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Look to the Lord and thank him for the word preached today. Amen. We thank the Lord. Truly, we've been fed in the same way that when we eat dinner, we bless God for the food that we've received. And the scripture instructs us that after we are full, then to thank him. So we're going to thank God for the word that was
Praise
preached
God.
Today. Truly, he filled us up today. And if we follow on, if we're diligent, there's much here that we can continue to study. Going back and reading over the scriptures. Many times, Minister Jenkins said, in your leisure, read. And there are many scriptures here.
Amen.
So we can go back and stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance of what was preached to us. And ask the Spirit of God to continue to preach to us.
Amen.
So we'll look to the Lord. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, dear God, for your word this day. We thank you, dear God, because, dear Father, we realize that your word is life unto us. In the same way that we eat our natural food to sustain us, dear God, we thank you, Lord, for the word that was preached today. Sustain us, dear God, in our walk with thee. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would help us, dear God, to consider earnestly the word that's been preached to us, dear God. Lord, help us, dear Father, to continue to lift you up, dear God, to continue to look to you and your word to order our steps, dear Father. Help us, dear God, not to get lifted up, dear God, in pride or to think that we've got it all, dear God. Lord, even if we've been redeemed from sin, dear God, we have to maintain this walk, dear God, lest at any time we should let anything slip. Dear God, we pray, Father, that you would continue, Lord, to feed us from your word. We pray, Lord, that the Spirit would continue to talk to us, dear God, through your word. Help us, Lord, to be diligent about studying your word, to see, Lord, what you require of us in these days, dear God.
Amen.
For truly we know, Lord, that we must redeem the time because these days are evil. Lord, have your way, dear God. And again, we thank you, Lord, for your preached word. We thank you, dear God, for your minister, dear God, who brought your word to us. We pray, Lord, that you would give us, dear God, the grace to walk, Lord, in the light as it shines on our pathway. And truly, Lord, we pray, Lord, if there's anyone here who doesn't know you in the pardon of their sins, pray, Lord, that they would consider, Lord, what was preached today. And we pray, Lord, you would give them understanding. Lord, that they would surrender to thee, dear God, while there's yet time. Have your way, Lord, in us, and we will truly give your name the praise, honor, and glory for it all. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated for just a moment just to share our announcements. Amen. Can we thank God for the word today? Fourth Sunday Fellowship dinner will follow morning service today. All are welcome to stay and fellowship and eat. Ordinance service will be held next Sunday, the 30th, following morning service. Fish and chicken fry is scheduled for Saturday, October 13th. More information will follow. The November turkey giveaway is fast approaching. You may continue to contribute to the money canister for this work. The date for packing the boxes will be Friday, November 9th at 6 p.m. The giveaway date is Saturday, November 10th, beginning at 10 a.m. We need as many as possible to help with this outreach, souls. Please keep praying for this work in our Lord Jesus Christ. Prayer meeting and Bible study will be conducted on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Our devotional leader is Sister Beverly Carroll. Her alternate is Brother Bill Morgan. I believe it's not in here, but anniversary blessings to Brother Reggie Jackson. He and his companion celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary. I believe he said it was last Friday, 50 years. And so we thank God for that. We thank God for blessing Sister Melita McElroy to drive the bus this morning. And Sister Millicent McElroy is scheduled to drive on next Lord's Day, next Sunday. So we ask you to lift her up in prayer this week, asking that the Lord will give her traveling mercies as she goes and picks up those right on the bus. And our thought for today, why are you waiting? Come to Jesus today while he is calling you. Come, my child, come.
Amen.
So thankful, again, for service this day and thankful for this Sunday fellowship, realizing that our dear Sister Ferris Day will be changing geography. But she'll still be in the Lord. And so we're going to, her family is here to help, we just want to show our love to her. So we want to recognize Sister Marquette. If you would like to stand and you'd like to have a word. Amen. Sister Holmes' daughter. We thank God for Sister Holmes always, and we thankful to see you again. I think I saw your husband go down the stairs just a couple minutes ago. Amen. And all right, sitting next to Sister Wigfall, am my eyes seeing right? Yes, that's what I thought.
Francie, yes.
Because in my mind I thought she looks just like Francine, and I thought that's why I said, are my eyes seeing right? But first, let me say, so glad to see you. Wonderful. Yeah. Oh, my. Yes. Okay. Oh. Yes. Oh. Well, it's so good to see you. It's been decades since I've seen Brother Malin Walker's. No, I'm sorry, no, Brother Eugene Walker's daughter. Some of you remember Brother Eugene Walker, and Brother Malin Walker's niece. Brother Malin Walker was assistant pastor here under Pastor Wilbur for a number of years. Yes, just so that you know. So she grew up here, was a young person growing up here, teenager, same time that I was, and just so good to see you. Amen. I want to recognize, and I don't remember your name, but the Miss Betty's grandchildren's Mommy. Yes, that's yes, mommy. Because I remember from the other week that you were here. So glad to see you. Glad that you're back again. That's mommy, everyone. Amen. Good to see you. Thank you for being here. And please come back. Come back. Amen. Amen. All right. Shall we? And you'll be going traveling back home, I trust. On Thursday. So we'll pray for you for traveling. Mercies for you returning home as well. Amen. Oh my. Yes, yes. Yes, yes. We'll be praying for you and your bereavement and so on. And we just, you know, even though you're living, you know, in another state still, the closeness from growing up together and your being here in this congregation, coming to church every Sunday along with your parents and so on. So good to see you. Amen. Shall we stand? And we'll ask Brother Byrene, would you dismiss us with prayer and also ask God's blessing for the food? Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for allowing us to come to the house of God. We thank you for your word that you have allowed us to allow our hearts as it's been said to keep you home that has shared with us that we might learn how to live.
Yes, dear God.
Amen.
Dear God.
We pray for those that support us. Continue to have thine own divine way through this fellowship service and gathering together. And as we prepare to leave after we're done, we ask to bless us and travel.
Yes,
Lord. Be with us, take us home safely.
Amen.